Welcome to Deeply Disturbing Things.
I'm Macy.
And I'm Naomi. And this is our podcast.
And boy, does that fit. Okay. So thanks for being here, guys.
We skipped last week because it was our birthday week. Yeah. And apparently now we don't know how to do anything. So
bear with us.
Thank you to our core listeners that followed us in and out of several live rooms while we figured shit out.
And we have been drinking for half an hour straight while we've been trying to figure this out.
We have a very fine premier Junmai sake, mm-hmm. and it's enjoyable. It's very lovely.
Great. Yeah. Here, pour me more. So I had a check-in. So I went on a trip to go see my dad in Oklahoma. Last week, and you had done the podcast episode on escalators,
yes.
and the danger.
Did you take the stairs?
So I was sometimes. However, I did take the escalators intentionally because I wanted to see if I could see any of, like, the damage and stuff that you talked about. And I did. I saw.
What did you see?
I saw teeth of the escalator that was, like, bent in. So, like, they weren't lined up straight. They were bent in and obviously, like, issue. I saw a whole under part of, like, where the arm rail part, uh-huh. like, underneath was, like, hanging just, like, loose on one of them.
You could have been trapped in that.
Right? And then I saw a couple that had, again, at those little teeth things where it was, like, smushed. Like, you could tell something had gotten stuck in it.
Probably a leg.
Yeah, a leg, a face, an ear, a nose.
A scalp.
A scarf, and then your scalp.
Jesus.
So I was highly aware of all of those things while I was on it. And I held on. I stood in the center. And I was ready to be thrown aggressively from an escalator at any moment.
And leap over the side.
If it was safe
yourself.
To do so.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're welcome for raising your awareness of the dangers of escalators.
Yeah. No, I appreciated it. It did make me, like, annoyingly paranoid, though, of all the escalators. I was, like, jumping off them. I'd get really scared when my foot would, like, still slide on it
did
a little bit
sure
at the end.
Did you make sure you didn't wear socks with sandals?
I had tennis shoes on, and they were tied tightly.
Did you make sure your laces weren't dragging?
Most of the time.
Because a lace gets sucked in, then it's a foot, then it's a leg, then it's a torso, then you're dead.
It's a weird California slipper that I don't.
Then you're gone.
Sandal? What did...
Saltwater sandal, oh. Macy. We have no video now. Nobody will see my hard eye rolling that I'm giving Macy right now.
Okay, yeah. So I have a special guest for us today.
Wait, I've got to do my check-ins.
Oh, fine.
I have a whole list. First of all, happy birthday, Paul. Today's his birthday.
Happy birthday, Paul.
Our birthdays are 7 days apart. He's a late.
Give him a happy
later
birthday,
May,
folks.
But it's still kind of mid-May, Taurus. Mm-hmm. But yeah, later it's... Yeah.
You get cred.
So I've taken some notes. We used to have a Hooters out in the valley.
Oh, yeah. That's now a church.
A church.
Yeah.
Called Uplift.
I didn't put that together. I saw it was a church and I thought that was funny. It's called Uplift.
Yes. I read a news article yesterday that a woman woke up to find blood dripping on her from the ceiling above. What had happened is somebody had died in the apartment above her several days before this happened. And she had her ceiling fan on, and so it just sprayed blood all over her and all over her room.
That's horrible. So it's like stinky old blood.
It's bad, yeah. I'm looking forward to the UFO report that's coming out very soon. The deadline is June.
You know, do you keep tabs on this UFO report?
Well, this is one where they're supposed to disclose everything they know. This was part of...
They won't do that.
Trump's COVID relief bill, something I'm happy Trump did. So we'll see. I'm imagining the reports are going to be like when we redact records. Where
oh, yeah, there's no way.
Like blackened out and all we see is like with and.
Yeah, I can release a lot of records that look different than when I put them in.
There'll be no nouns.
<Mm-mm>. Nope.
And then my last check-in is... Lego Company is coming out with an LGBTQ set, which I'm totally going to buy. And I can't wait.
Oh, another FYI. Saatchi shared that they gathered all of the big cats from Tiger King today and took them to a wildlife sanctuary because they weren't being fed or taken care of.
Well, I'm sad that the tigers went through that. I'm happy they're going to be cared for.
Hopefully by not Carol Baskin.
Do we sound okay, people? I feel like I'm just shouting at Macy's laptop from across the room.
No, you're just drunk.
It's your turn, right? You get to go first.
Yeah, well, I have a special guest. So
I love special guests.
Sounds fun. Cool. Sounds good. We sound good. We sound good.
Woo!
You know, forget about all this equipment I've paid for. Just use my laptop. Let's go with
this. This is so full circle.
This is irritating. But
this is like day beyond one. Remember, we're anything. Hunched over the little recording box. We're doing the same thing now. We're like hunched together.
I love being hunched. Okay, so hey, yo, daddy, you want to call in, and I will answer. Maybe try.
Macy's daddy is going to be our special guest. He worked as a prison warden for like 25 years.
Yeah, so we get some more. He's been in some other episodes as well, and we get some more stories today.
It's been a while since we've been delighted by a prison story.
I don't think I pressed that in time. Can you do that again? Oh, I pressed dismiss. Just kidding. Why did they make the dismiss button green? That's the go button.
Opposite.
Hello? Oh.
I can't hear him.
Oh, why did P-Dog go away? Wait. Sorry. Okay, here. Call in. Okay, there. I called in.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you. Okay, give me a sec. Let me, like, turn up your volume. I have to say that... So I went and visited him in Oklahoma, and the air mattress I was sleeping on eventually deflated, and I woke up in a taco in the morning. Okay, are you there?
Unfortunately, yes.
I love the enthusiasm. Welcome, Macy's dad, prison papa.
Cheers.
Yeah, it's great to be anywhere but here.
You don't like Oklahoma?
Unfortunately, it's kind of sucks.
Well, Spokane, what misses you?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot been happening. You know, we just got a new Spokane flag like a couple days ago.
Oh, well, that's exciting. Here I've got 90% humidity and a tornado's been forming over my place here the last 2 days.
No. That's not a safe place to be in a tornado. So thank you for being here. This was a plea of me because my topic's a little thin today, to be completely honest. And you've come to the rescue once again to share some of your prison experience with us. What do we get today?
I got prison escapes.
Prison escape stories?
Woo!
Yes.
Tell us all about it.
Just a couple. But first off, back a little background. But this is when I first started in the early 80s at Washington State Reformatory in Monroe, Washington. Was old and disgusting and, you know, like you'd see an Alcatraz movie kind of a thing. But there's many, and if people... General public doesn't know this, but there was many escape attempts when I was there. The only time the general public found out about it is if they actually got loose and weren't captured right away. But there was always some type of something going on every few weeks.
Was this when you worked in the guard tower?
No.
Okay. So you were actually in the...
So you never know the facts.
No. I pieced together... chunks of my childhood, and I'm always wrong.
Yes, you usually are. But this was before you were born, so you got a pass on this one. But in the early 80s, when I worked in the reformatory in Abel's side, one of the blocks, and we went over that, all of those before. Abel, yeah. Baker, Charlie, Dog, the four
episodes we got.
Living units. But at the end of the day, all the block officers, after chasing, like we talked about before, you know, like rabid chickens around, trying to get them into their cells, and at the end of the night, lock them down for the night. We'd sauntered down to the front main doors, the riot doors, and they'd open them up because everyone was locked up, and we'd stand in the halfway in the block and half looking out in the main big hallway where all four blocks kind of intersected and all everyone comes out into the hallway to go to the IK or the big yard. And we'd sit there and write up, do our write-ups or lean against the wall, mostly just wiping the spit and urine out of our hair from the days. And one day no different than any other one. I had, you know, quit again every day for 3 or 4 years in a row.
Sounds like Oklahoma.
Shut up. Yeah.
We love Oklahoma listeners.
Yeah.
I don't think they could understand your podcast, this on and off again stuff.
Ouch.
Anyways.
Friends.
So, but we're standing there, and all the block officers, and I had Ableside, where I was the one officer in that block only. The other, Baker, Charlie, and Dog blocks had two officers in each cell. And we'd all come out and kind of do our thing and stare at each other like, I can't believe we work here. But, you know, kind of that common bond of not camaraderie, but of shame, you know. And
I've had that moment. That's when I had food, or I had what was that stomach thing?
The norovirus
thing. And Naomi.
We were puking and shitting at the same time.
Yeah, and Naomi was like on the other side of a curtain when I pooped in a bucket.
Yeah, that was a high point in our relationship.
That's when I knew she was the best friend
I was
ever
the one.
Wanted.
I knew I was the one.
Yeah.
And that's when I knew I raised her right. Anyway, so we're sitting there, and this end of the day, it's about 9:30. Shift was over at 10. And at that point, officers were sent into the blocks to deliver legal mail because you had to be there to sign for it. And so officers had their mail and was going through the blocks, and we were just standing there finishing up the day. And all of a sudden, there was a commotion out of Charlie's side, which was across the hall from me, and we're all looking, and all of a sudden we heard screaming, and so we're like, oh crap, what's going on over there? Thank God it's not here, not my block. And
he's on his own.
The guy who had went in there to deliver mail comes running out of the block screaming, and I'm still like not knowing what's going on. We're all just standing there watching, and there was he ran to the sergeant's office, and they ran in and into the by the door of Charlie's side, where the officers, which you know the officer too, Macy, that
I do
in charge of that.
Oh, well, probably.
used to lived with him for a short time.
Okay, I do.
Anyways, and all of a sudden, all the officers, including the block officers from Charlie's side, all rushed into the unit. Into the blocks, Charlie block, and we're all still like, what the hell's going on? Uh-oh, you know, and all of a sudden, officers started walking out with things like doll, big, like paper mache style heads and arms and things.
Ooh.
What?
They made a decoy.
Oh.
And so, and you got to remember, to lock them up, you do, at the end of the day, you do a count, and that count, and they drill it into you constantly. You count living, breathing flesh, of course, which, you know, to get the day ended a little sooner, you walk by and just counted by twos, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. Okay. They're all here. Where are they going to go? Right. Anyways, well, the other officers in Able, my block, Baker and Dog, were watching this, and then when they started bringing out all these huge, these doll human-sized doll parts, we all realized what happened, and we started laughing. We're just howling, laughing, like, oh my God, they made dummies. For about 3 seconds, and then we all kind of, from across the way, glanced at each other like, oh crap, I'm going to go back in my block and check this out, because I better not have dummies in my block. No.
Well, you might have had dummies in your block.
Well, yeah. Oh, not none of my inmates. They were all innocent. So, and it was funny because we just all glanced at each other from across the hall and turned around, and all of us disappeared in the blocks all at the same time. It's like we all knew exactly what we were all thinking. And anyways, I went back and, of course, pissed off every person in my block who was trying to sleep at that point. And I was throwing things at them and making them move and, you know, anything I could to see that living, breathing flesh. And thank God, no dummies in my block. Paper dolls. and there weren't any in other blocks either. But after we did our recount, and we recounted like 5 times, we all went back to the doors again and turned in a recount slip and all that. And they were just pulling out all sorts of parts and stuff. And they had inmates had made dummies, put them into their bed, put the blankets over them, and the officers there blindly just counted them as living, breathing flesh and didn't obviously see living, breathing flesh. But
so, Macy's dad, we've asked this before, but why is there so much unsupervised craft time in a prison?
Where they're making these.
Yeah, like, how do you explain making a life-size...
Sorry, this is my brother.
...person?
Well, a lot of it is downtime in your cell when you're locked in there. I mean, they bring the supply... A lot of times, they bring the supplies and stuff to do that thing in the cell block itself. They're not making heads in the church and carrying them through the place back to their cell. I'm assuming that because I've never done it or seen it done, but it's a good point. It's a lot of officers had that same, you know, it's the other stuff they'd make in other places and bring and hide that we weren't always too thrilled about. When they basically formed a posse to go out and look for this guy. And it was a good thing. They let the guy that I know, the guy who had counted these dummies as real, who was freaking out, they let him go and kind of, I won't say lead the party, but there's about 10 officers, a goon squad and everything, goes charging out to the big yard. And so they actually, my friend, the guy who miscounted, he actually did find them, which was cool, I guess. But they, 3 inmates were behind the chapel. And they built this prison in Monroe, which is where 2 rivers verge, meet. And it's the foggiest place on earth.
It is very foggy. It's like creepy foggy there.
And anyways, they were hunkered down in the bushes, you know, behind the church, short distance from the wall, and they had made sheet ropes, just knotted a whole bunch of sheets and made ropes, and had a big grappling hook that they made in welding shop.
Oh my God, that's classic.
Wait, you said they welded it?
Yeah. Wait.
Where?
Again, back to my question, why is there so much unsupervised shop time?
Making, like, grappling hooks. It's, yeah, a little obvious.
It's so obvious.
Well, yes, if you had supervisors that could watch, if you had 100 supervisors to watch 100 inmates, you'd be well ahead of the game. But when, like in my block, I was the only officer with 220 inmates, it's hard to watch one, especially they're very good at diverting your attention somewhere. You know, they'll cause a problem somewhere. So over
Someone made a ruckus.
And that makes sense because, like, I was.
And then someone else whipped out a grappling hook.
Yeah, I would be more worried about the person running at me with the razor blade.
So, I mean, things like that happen. How, I don't know how they made this. I never really got that far. But
it's impressive.
That is, it's a lot of.
I mean, they have some impressive. I mean, out of that shop, the metal shop, they could make some really cool weapons and stabbing devices and things.
What were some of the coolest that you've seen?
Well, I mean, I've saw stuff that they made that were almost. That got caught way too easy because they're big and very horribly dangerous and easily detected. It's like the little guillotine. Like a what? Guillotine?
Yeah.
Yes, that was. There was only three people that lost their head before we figured that one out.
I'm picturing three guys like dragging it down the hall.
Yeah, just so you know, Spicoli, I'm not sure if that's how you say that, in our chat room there said that they were also a CO. They were a CO? Something like that.
Correctional officer.
Correctional officer, yeah. And they said there's 3,000 inmates with 150 guards. You had it much, much worse than that in your block.
Well, first, my condolences to him, and two, I was never a CO. I was a guard. I didn't like to put on airs. Basically, when I was hired, they told me after the interview, they were laughing. Oh, you passed. You got hired. And I'm like, oh, cool. You know, and they'd like, oh, don't think anything of it, because if we came in and the first test is if you have your zipper zipped up, you're hired. And this is what lieutenants were telling me.
I feel like the mannequin thing has been done in like famous prison escape cases. Is that how they did it at Alcatraz?
I wasn't there, but I mean probably because it works, you know.
You're just kind of, yeah, like leaning on the eventual, like, laziness that follows through. I mean, it's just the day-to-day stuff.
Exactly. You're just routine. You cut corners. You see, and the thing with me and what I realized with these inmates who did this were actually pretty brilliant at, they didn't just put a head there with a pillow underneath a blanket, because I always looked for skin. So if they have a pillow buried or head down with blanket up over the head kind of a thing in just a big lump, I'd usually say something, you know, and then you get something thrown at you or cussed at or whatever. But if I saw what looked like an arm on next to the big blanketed lump, mm-hmm. Oh, okay, there's his arm. Okay, and I'd count it, you know, so.
What if they cut off someone else's arm and then
put it there as a decoy?
Yeah, like flesh.
Well, apparently you don't have to get that intricate because you know, paper mache works fine.
I've made a paper mache thing where you put it around the balloon, and that's hard.
I've made a lot of paper mache in my life.
I believe that.
I don't know what it was actually made of and where they how they made paste for paper mache, but I don't want to know either.
I always did a classic flour and water mixture with newspaper strippings.
Well, I don't think they had newspaper, but who knows? I don't know.
Toilet paper? Do they have toilet paper?
Thanks for that gift, Spicoli. Appreciate it.
They do have toilet paper.
So maybe they made their mannequins like, out of toilet paper.
Like maybe spit or...
And semen?
Sea miles.
Kind of leaning toward the hacking off the cellmate's arm now. If that would work.
I mean,
you have to be resourceful. You have to work with what you have.
Either get out or you don't. So, okay. So
they actually got out.
But they got caught though, right?
Behind they the got church. Caught before they scaled the wall. And these walls are...
Oh, okay. So the church was on the prison grounds.
Grounds, okay. Yes. And the wall, I don't know how long tall it is, like 20 feet. It's the old, like, castle-style brick walls kind of thing with a walkway on top and little guard boxes around to sit in the fog and get killed by someone escaping. And that was another thing. I mean, they put us up on on top of the wall in a little guard shack, which was basically a card or not cardboard, but plywood shack. And you sit there in the fog, you couldn't see 3 feet in front of you, and someone could go over the wall 10 feet away from you. You never know it. But actually, that did happen once where I wasn't there, but they figured that a couple of guys escaped. Same sheet, same grappling hook. That, you know, if I guess you got a good grade making grappling hooks in the, well, metal shop, but they went right by a guard tower in the fog, and those guys, they never found them that I know of. I mean, they may actually made it out.
What a cool story to have to tell. When you come back, you should do a campfire story night with s'mores and everything.
I have one more escape story, though.
Ooh, okay.
Are you down for after you're done with this one, if Spicoli wanted to chat with you for a moment? And then, just so you know, if it's weird at all, I'll just hang it up. You never know.
Oh, you mean come on live on the... Right, this.
Yeah, they're wanting to call in, and normally we just do one person at a time, but because they have a similar history, sounds like they may have something to share.
All right, that's fine.
Okay, all right, go ahead, finish your story.
Well, another escape thing, a different way that I was more involved in was when I had the Honor Farm crew on outside grounds, and there was this guy out there. It was a good guy. He's from Texas, Southern drawl, you know, and hard, you know, he worked good and did what you said. And he was on the Honor Farm. He was less than 3 months before his whole, he would have been out full sentence and gone. He actually came up to Washington because some women he knew told him to come up to Washington and party. And
oh, no. He got,
it's always a bad thing. And he got caught robbing a pharmacy in Lake Stevens, actually, if you know where that is.
Mm-hmm.
He busted a big, huge plate glass window in front of the building, and he broke it and was reaching around trying to open the door, and the whole window slid down and collapsed and slid down his arm and cut him, you know, to the bone, and held him there till the police came.
Wow. Jeez.
That's but anyways, awesome. he had served like 6 years, and he was only had like 2.5 months or something before he was gone. But he was living in the Honor Farm, and you have to be there. You have to be almost on your way out and been real, you know, haven't done anything wrong and all that kind of thing. So, but one day on my crew, he comes up to me and he real calmly said, yeah, I left a dog in Texas when I got caught up here. I said, oh, that's too bad. He goes, yeah, I tied it to a tree. Okay. That's too bad. And he goes, no, it's about time I take that dog off his leash, off the tree. I said, okay. That's all he said. It's about time I get home and take that dog off. And I thought he was talking, oh, in 3 months he's going to be glad to be going back to Texas or something. But he was actually telling me that he was escaping the Honor Farm, which is a lot easier to escape. You can just walk off and get picked up on the road by someone. But he told me it's time to get that dog off the leash, off the tree. And the next day, there was reports that he had escaped. And as far as I know, they never found him either.
Jeez.
So how do you just go into hiding like that and never get found? Do you have to just create a whole new identity?
I came to Oklahoma.
It's a good plan.
Yeah, because you can get lost out here and no one cares.
You try yourself.
I've heard Cuba is a classic place to disappear. I've heard Elvis is down there. Possibly Cuba.
Is it because the hippos, the cocaine hippos?
That's right.
Yeah.
Party with the hippos.
Well,
if I was in prison, I would definitely try to escape. When I was in juvenile detention, I helped organize the escape. I was part of the party that organized the ruckus, the distraction, so other people could escape.
You would do that.
Yeah, I did do that. And so some kids were able to escape successfully.
You would be the kid that everyone convinced to pull the fire alarm, and then you'd get detention for it.
I pulled the fire alarm when I was 5 in kindergarten.
Wow,
I hid in the bushes and watched the fire trucks come.
On the mark. I would never do that. Actually, the one time I called 911 after my dad taught me how to, like, in an emergency call 911, and I did it in a panic. Sorry about that, Dad. They did show up, in case you're curious.
I was born bad.
See, it wasn't worth Macy to be bad, because I would totally humiliate her when she was bad and make the fire department talk to her.
I was under the bed, and you made them come in and, like, you said, Macy, get out here, and you did daddy voice. Yes. Oh, it was awful. So we have another guest on right now. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Does somebody need to mute there?
Sure. I just go by the name Spicoli. Okay. I live in Texas.
Texas!
Yes. And I worked in a county jail for about 6 years. And it wasn't a prison, man. The prisons down here they're something different, man. I didn't catch where the other guy that was speaking.
I'm here still. I'm still here. I'm listening to you.
Yeah, but where were you a guard at?
Up in Washington State. Up in the we were north.
Oh, okay.
Seattle.
Yeah, and you were talking about some escapes. There were only four escapes, I think, from the county, and two of them while I was there. In those 6 months, 6 years. But we had some real bad fucking, excuse my language. Can you cuss on here or not?
You can.
Only I can.
Only Naomi can, but that's okay.
We'll give you a pass. You get one fuck, and that's it.
And then,
oh, man, I'm going to have a hard time.
You used it up.
You should share one of those times for us.
Alright. Well, I'll tell you the weirdest time is the first day that I worked there. And I walked in there and I was on the second floor and they had the AB. Do y'all know what the AB is? The corrections. The other jailer knows. Do you know the AB?
Are you talking about living pods?
No, the gang.
No.
The Aryan Brotherhood.
Oh, gotcha, okay. They didn't have fancy names when I was there. I worked in the white supremacist block, so.
Well, this was 20 years ago, when I worked there.
Well, mine was almost 40 years ago, so yeah.
Oh, okay, cool. Shit, man. Damn, you got it.
Shit, man.
They said this guy... They tried to say he tried to commit suicide, and we walked in that tank, and there was just blood everywhere. They had cut his wrist from, like, the wrist to the elbow.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't cut it, sideways. They went all the way up, man. This guy... He was in the bottom, on his bottom bunk, and that, every time his heart beat, you could just see his blood everywhere. Mm. And it took forever for him to pop open the tank. And because they were a bunch of badass guys, but they did it themselves. They held this guy down, and they were going to let him bleed out.
Wow.
So there's so many stories and shit you can do. This guy was on his way to court and he was going to kill his lawyer. And he had a razor blade taped to his thigh up there by his groin area. And they strip searched him before he went. And
wow.
So he went after the sergeant and sliced his face open.
Not lucky.
And he got about 80-something stitches.
Jeez.
Have any of y'all seen The Jinx? With he's a crazy ass Robert Durst.
No, I don't think so.
He came from New York, wealthy family, went to California, and then came to Galveston and murdered that guy and cut him up into pieces. Jeez. Anyway, yeah, that was a county I was in. Well, and he was there. It's just nuts.
Yeah. Well, I want to, just because this has been my half of the podcast, and now I got to hand it off to Naomi for her topic, but I want to thank you both for being here and being willing to share a little bit.
It's very eye-opening to see into the real world of prison. You know, we only get the Hollywood.
Yeah.
Exactly. And it's glad, you know, his stories are probably worse than mine, but the whole thing about where the general population is, well, why didn't you stop him? Or why didn't you know that? It's ridiculous. You just can't. There's just too much.
Even when I say, why wasn't Crafts more supervised?
Well, thank you. Thank you, Dad, for jumping back on and sharing with us. And we'll catch you next time for your
prison stories are the best. Story.
Okay.
And thank you, Spicoli, for jumping in too. Woo! Appreciate it. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Guess what? It's my turn.
It is your turn.
Are you ready?
I'm so ready.
I'm really bad at accents.
Oh, are you gonna wait? Are you gonna actually do an accent?
Well, I considered it, but I don't think I should. Can you do an Australian accent?
Not without insulting people. Pretty sure about that.
I'm just not even going to try. So I just want to say to you, a dingo ate my baby.
A dingo ate my baby.
There you go. Do you know what that comes from?
I'm sorry if I insulted anyone. I've heard that that's a real legit thing, that dingoes eat babies.
Yes. This is that's a real legit thing.
Dingoes eat babies.
So I've heard that saying bantied about, and I never really...
What was it?
I've heard that saying.
Oh. Bantied about. But bantied. What is bantied?
Like tossed around lightly and loosely.
Okay.
Perhaps like a badminton birdie.
I hate everything about what you just said. Keep going.
And so that was a lot of alliteration.
It was.
Bantied about like a badminton birdie. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
But I never really knew what that was. But as you may or may not know, I'm obsessed with RuPaul's Drag Race. Mm-hmm. And I was watching the new Australian RuPaul's Drag Race, Drag Race Down Under. And they're playing Snatch Game. And one of the contestants was doing an impression of the actual person that said, a dingo ate my baby, or whoever.
A dingo ate my baby.
Yeah, and I was like, oh.
I think I saw it on Friends,
I was like, I want to know more. And so I decided to dive into it. And so I'm going to tell you the story of the death of 9-week-old Azaria Chamberlain and the aftermath. So this phrase, a dingo ate my baby, has been in a lot of things. It's been in a 1988 movie called A Cry in the Dark that starred Meryl Streep as the mom. And she won an Oscar for her role as the mom, whose name is Lindy Chamberlain. And it was a phrase used by on Seinfeld, and it's shown up in lots of other places. So it's a reference. I didn't really know the roots of it, and so I decided to dive in. So why don't you all dive in with me? But first, let's talk about dingoes. Macy went to pee, so I can't show her this dingo photo. The dingo is Australia's wild dog. It's an ancient breed of domestic dog that was introduced to Australia about 4,000 years ago. Do you know about dingoes? Macy, you're back.
Yeah.
Here's a picture of a dingo. They're cute.
They're cute.
And so dingoes are carnivores. They're opportunistic carnivores. And mammals form the main part of their diet, especially rabbits, kangaroos, wallabies, and wombats. When native species are scarce, they're known to hunt domestic animals and farm livestock, and this makes them unpopular. So if they can't find those animals, they will eat reptiles and any food source that they can find, including insects and birds, which I didn't know. They will scavenge at night. They will hunt alone, but they will form larger packs and collaborate when they're hunting bigger game. So they will team up. So they're like independent, but will form a pack when necessary. They will live in clearly defined territory, and they will rarely leave it. And then they will protect that territory against other dingoes. So dingoes rarely bark. Really? They tend to howl, particularly at night. And that is in an effort to attract pack members or to ward off intruders. They have other forms of communication. Scent rubbing. Mm-hmm. Defecating.
Cats do that.
Yes, they mm-hmm. do. They do it on you. Mm-hmm. They scent rub all over your legs. Defecating, a.k.a. pooping, and urinating.
That's how I mark my territory. Peeing. I'm going to rub my chin on you and pee on your personal items.
Dingoes can interbreed with other forms of domestic dogs.
Okay, that's how Sammy was made. Dad.
I would like to share a personal story at this point.
About a dingo breeding?
Yeah. When I was in high school, I liked to skip class and go get dogs and bring them home.
What does that mean, go get dogs?
You know.
Who go gets dogs?
I would just go get dogs.
From where? Who does that?
Me.
Where?
You know, you might see it in a newspaper ad. Back in the 80s, they had newspaper.
So these poor dogs thought they were getting a good home, and then you came and pick them up?
So this particular dog I got from the pound. Mm-hmm. I went to go adopt it. I don't know why they would just let a teenager just adopt a dog.
No, that's really stupid.
It's really stupid. So before I adopted the dog that I was interested in, they wanted me to go see the dog's mother. And they were all very serious. And they took me back to a back area in a locked room. And it was like dog, like Green Mile, like Death Row. And they wanted me to look at this dog. And they explained that the puppies came from this dog, that they'd been born in the wild and were collected, but the mom was going to be put down, and that the mom was half dingo and half pit bull. And the mom looked rough, like just
why did they want you to see
scarred up? Because they were warning me that there could be issues with this dog.
Oh.
And maybe I didn't want to adopt the dog. But I'm high school. I'm like, I love animals.
You don't give a shit.
I don't give a shit. That puppy's so cute. Give me that puppy.
I take all the dogs home that I can get.
Yeah, so there's the mom, half dingo, half pit bull, just scarred up, could tell, just lived in the wild its whole life. So the puppy had another mix in there. It was either like some kind of German shepherd or something. It's hard to tell. But that puppy, even though I adopted it when it was very young and raised it with all the love that a high school stoner / hippie flower child could offer,
not much.
That dog always was other dog aggressive and tried to kill other dogs, like including my other dog.
I've adopted dogs that are aggressive.
Friends, other dogs. My dog, my name's Zuni, because it was a peaceful tribal name, would latch onto other dogs' throats and not let go. Like, I would have to, like, beat at Zuni just to get him to, like, let go. Like, he had full lockjaw. And so I don't know if that was the pit bull side, if that was the dingo side, but I did have a part dingo. And I love that dog. Ate
that baby.
It did. So here's a picture of Lindy Chamberlain and the baby, Azaria, when they're on the fateful trip. So I'm going to discuss the short life of Azaria Chamberlain. She was born in 1980. She was the third child for Lindy and Michael Chamberlain. They had two sons, Reagan, who was age 4, and Aiden, age 7. And so they decided to go on a camping trip to Uluru Rock in Central Australia. And so it's like this beautiful red rock in the middle of this flat land.
Like
and
desert, yeah.
I saw these pictures of it at sunset. It's like glowing. It's just glorious. So a very beautiful place. So this event sparked one of Australia's most sensational murder mysteries. So that night in August 17th, 1980, they'd set up their camp, and Lindy and Michael, the parents, they were sitting in the communal barbecue area. And so this was like a family camping area. This isn't like rough camping. This is not backpacking in camping. This is car camping.
Yeah.
This is like the kind of camping that I grew up with, you know. So you like set up your tent. There's like a barbecue already set up, picnic tables. So they were sitting in the barbecue area.
Not expecting to rough it at all.
No. And many of the other campers were also sitting there when they heard a cry come from the tent where the baby was and Reagan were sleeping. So it was like a short, sharp cry. And so, here's a picture I have of the campground. So see, they like have a classic tent.
Oh yeah, there's like a picnic bench.
It's like an A-frame tent.
Yeah, it's like anywhere you would go camping where it's like
there's that big rock right there.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's all like pre-made.
Yeah.
So Lindy got up to check on the baby, but as she approached the tent, she saw a dingo come out and run away. And Lindy said, I could only see the top of its shoulders and its head. And I thought, there's no food in there, but he might have damaged or mauled the baby. So Lindy said, I ran to the tent and looked in her carry cot. They have different language in Australia.
A carry so cot.
Carry cot is like baby a little carrier. Bassinet kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And she wasn't there. So I felt all around the tent to make sure he hadn't dropped her because I couldn't see how he could have taken her and got out in such a hurry. So I can totally picture, like, you know, on your hands and knees in a tent, feeling around, like, where's the baby? And so she comes out of the tent, and then she yelled, has anyone got a torch? The dingo's got my baby. And so that was, like, that famous line that all these witnesses heard. And a torch, by the way, is a flashlight.
Oh, not a real torch.
So the police were called because they'd gone looking and they couldn't find, and they began searching the area for Azaria. And they were unaware that there was a huge blood stain inside the tent. So there was a witness that was in a neighboring camp spot, Judy West, who recalls 7-year-old Aiden telling her the dingo's got our baby in its tummy.
Oh.
So police and local Aboriginal trackers searched through the night and found dingo tracks to and from the camp, but no trace of the baby.
Wow.
The following day, on police advice, the family packed up and made the 13-hour drive back to their home.
That would be so hard.
Without
to
their baby.
Yeah.
No, I would not
leave.
Do you
think it ate the baby while it was in the tent? Like that's where it consumed it, even?
Well,
because if there's no sign of anything else. Then...
No, I think it was carried out in its mouth.
Oh, carried out in that.
Yeah. Baby.
Okay.
So a few days after the disappearance, walkers in the area made a horrifying discovery of azaleas baby grow. Here's another word that we don't know. It's basically like a one-piece outfit kind of thing. So here's a picture of it. Oh, so
it's like a jumper.
It's like a footed onesie thing.
Onesie, okay. It's called a what?
They call it a baby grow.
Baby grow, okay.
Which is cute. But this one was not cute because it was stained with blood from the neck down. And a jacket Lindy claimed the baby was wearing at the time was still missing. And so that was found. And you can see it's mostly bloody around the neck area.
Yeah, so it must have just went right for the neck.
If a dingo went for the neck.
Which is the softest part on a baby.
Protect your soft parts, as we've said.
Yeah, it's an episode.
And picked up the baby and carried it away. Like, those bloodstains, to me, make sense. And I'm no Henry Lee, but it makes sense.
But unfortunately, babies don't know that.
Right. So after police released pictures of that baby grow suit, the rumors began to swirl that the parents were involved in the baby's death.
I don't understand that, though. Like, why does a bloody onesie mean that the parents did it?
No, it was a total, like hunt. Like,
gotcha. They were
vilified.
They wanted an answer.
So cars began honking outside their house. Neighbors stopped talking when they saw Lindy coming. And all the theories were going around. One theory was that the baby had been killed in a satanic slaying because the parents were members of Seventh-day Adventist religion. And people didn't really understand that religion. And so they thought that maybe it was a satanic cult. There was also stuff posted that the name Azaria meant sacrifice in the wilderness, when it actually means blessed by God or God's helper.
Mm.
There was other theories that the baby had been sold into white slavery in Southeast Asia, or that Aiden had killed the baby and his parents were covering him, which kind of reminds me of the JonBenet situation.
Mm-hmm.
One of the theories is that the older brother
actually had done it,
killed JonBenet, and it was being covered up. There was people that said that Azaria was being abused, and so that she'd been killed in an abusive situation, or that she'd been born developmentally disabled, and so
they any proof of
didn't
that?
Want her. No, this is all
okay. It's all fabricated
rumors.
Well,
and the media frenzy,
like
went
the blood
wild.
On that is like. Clearly, either, like, you would have had it was a slicing of the baby's throat, which makes sense with a dingo.
Sacrificial.
Well, killing. I was thinking dingo, or yes. It would have been the most brutal, like, you either have to assume the absolute worst of the parents.
That's what everybody was doing.
Or it was.
Everybody vilified dingo. Them completely. Hmm. They began to get hate mail, saying such things as, Lindy, you should be hung up to the nearest tree. You murdered the baby because it was abnormal.
Well, and these poor parents who are like went on a camping trip and their baby
got
dried out.
And they're
in
mourning. They're
Wow. Okay.
So this part really struck a chord with me. Look at this outfit.
Okay, so you're showing me an outfit of.
Describe this outfit.
Oh, it's like a black dress with a red ribbon, red shoes. Is that a bottoms?
It's like a little diaper cover that goes underneath.
Yeah, so it's like black with red.
Okay.
Accents.
So before this whole camping trip, Lindy had gone out in public with the baby dressed in this black outfit.
Mm-hmm.
And so after Azaria died, like
it's a very,
people
like,
freaked out about it.
It is a very gothic looking outfit.
Yes, people were like, that is an abnormal color. It's an unnatural color to dress a baby in.
Kind
and
of
so
is. I mean,
it was
I would
kind
say
of
that.
Like
yeah.
Fueled to the fire. Mm-hmm. I think it's cute, but at that time, you know, 1980, this was like
satanic
panic going on.
I wouldn't view this as a camping.
No, this wasn't camping. This was before the whole event. It was like they had drug up
old
photos. And we're like, look,
this
mom is obviously satanic. She took the baby out in this black and red outfit. It's unnatural. It's an unnatural color.
I would have said, like,
you don't dress a baby
it's
in
a
black.
Little weird if it happened, like, the day before this happened or something like that. But you can't just take up old photos. I mean, I mean, no offense, Mom, I love you, but you put me in some interesting Easter outfits.
Did you ever get dressed in black?
No.
When you were a baby?
There's lots of flowers. Things I'm more ashamed about now.
Yeah, as an adult. So she was vilified for that outfit, among other things. And then she was also vilified because she gave an interview where she appeared unemotional. And so the press said, oh, she's cold. She's a cold mother. She's unfeeling, obviously. She killed the baby.
But well, that doesn't mean anything.
We can't judge people on how they're going to react to trauma. Mm-mm. Like, everybody's going to react differently. Some people may laugh, you know, and that doesn't mean they're not impacted.
Anytime my dad would get hurt, somehow my go-to would be to laugh about it. And now to this day, if someone gets really hurt, I laugh. It's my own, like, nervous energy.
So she gave this interview where she appeared to calmly explain how a dingo could devour a tiny child without destroying the baby grow. So that baby grow, even though it had blood on it, it wasn't chewed up. Mm-hmm. And so she was trying to explain that. And that soft fueled speculation.
This.
We know this. And so many Australians decided Lindy was guilty of murdering the baby.
Wow.
So overwhelmed by press attention and accusations, Michael, the dad, revealed he was not able to properly grieve for his loss. And heartbreakingly, he told a friend, the saddest thing for me is that I can't remember what Azaria looked like.
Aww.
That sucks. She's only 9 weeks old.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not fully imprinted.
Like the features.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, babies' features are also constantly changing. They look different every day. So in December 1980, an inquest heard that rangers in the Uluru area had reported dingo attacks just 2 weeks before the baby disappeared, and that Derek Roth, chief ranger, had wrote to local authorities asking for ammunition to cull dingoes, telling them that there was a drought and that the dingoes were starving and becoming dangerous, and adding babies will be their next prey.
Wow.
That was 2 weeks before this. And fellow camper Judith West testified to seeing a dingo circling her young daughter before she scared it off. The authorities attempted to disprove the dingo theory by hiring a dentist who testified that canine teeth couldn't bite through a baby grow. But the coroner concluded that the baby had been taken by a dingo.
Wow. Okay. So it was decided. Like, okay.
Well, no.
Oh.
This this is the first inquest. He also heavily criticized the police over forensic slip-ups, including moving the baby clothes before their position had been photographed.
Hmm.
And delaying scientific examination.
Which could move where the blood was showing
and
up.
And blood spatters, yes.
Yeah.
And I watched an interview of the forensic person, and she had only been on the job 3 months, was totally green, had no idea what she was doing. She admitted that.
Wow.
And that she was trying to learn about the case by reading the newspaper reports.
Which is going to have bias, obviously, yeah. Against the family.
Yep, yep, yep. So the Northern Territorial authorities were worried about criticism of their investigation, and they're worried that dingo attacks would damage tourism. And so they really wanted to
probably with people with babies.
They wanted to prove that Lindy had killed Azaria.
Well, that's a horrible motive. I need tourism to stay up, so we need to prove that.
That dingoes aren't dangerous. We don't want dingoes to be crazy.
But that's not what that means. It means that the mom or the family killed their own baby. That's what that really means. And that's a horrible thing to accuse unless you have actual hard evidence.
Well, and the motivation of tourism is a horrible motivation.
Yeah.
So they hired a British forensic scientist named Professor James Cameron to examine the baby clothes. And he concluded Azaria had been held as her throat was slit, and claimed there was a bloody handprint on the back of the baby grow.
But so, it was moved.
So Lindy was arrested on suspicion of murder in September 1982 with husband Michael charged with accessory after the fact.
Wow.
Prosecutors trying to suggest the baby had been dead before the family arrived at the barbecue that night re-interviewed eyewitnesses who had heard the babies cry in the dark and tried to convince them they had misheard or had been lying, but nobody changed their story.
That's so bad. That's leading the witness. It's what are so you bad. Doing?
Like, yeah, going to be like, Missy,
no, are you sure?
I know you said you heard this cry.
The problem is, and we are both counselors, and we know that memory is so fallible.
It's
and
so it's, bad.
You can
yeah.
change people's
and
perception
of memory.
And if
you put question in there, people will be like,
especially if they feel like they're in trouble or if they're seeing news media that's saying, one
yes,
thing,
everything's totally skewed. Saying this mother killed their baby.
Of like, you don't want to be the one to say that it didn't.
And if they're like, maybe it was an owl. I don't even know if owls live in Australia, but let's just assume owls live in Australia. Maybe it was an owl. How do you know it was a baby?
Yeah, it's
listen to this owl cry. Could that have been what you heard?
Yeah. Do you really want this murderer to go free? I mean,
exactly.
Like,
she could kill more babies.
And then you go, well, no. Well, maybe. And that's all you need.
And then that's the doubt. And that's it. Yeah.
But they all stuck with their decision.
They did. They stuck with their.
Good for them.
Their
that's
story.
Hard. That's really hard. That's that how is. A lot of interrogations go wrong.
I would feel the pressure.
Mm-hmm.
So forensic scientist testified she had found blood stains containing fetal blood in the couple's car.
That's baby blood, in case you were unsure.
But that would later be found to be manufacturing fluid.
Wait, what is manufacturing fluid?
I don't know.
That sounds like an Australian thing. Again.
I think it's an Australian
what
thing.
What is it? What is?
I'm thinking oil.
Like car oil?
I don't know. Like, you know how you oil, like maybe the springs under
like
the seats or
w,
whatnot?
Like what, W2? It's not W2.
WD-40. W2 is a... income form.
You can tell I filled out a lot of that. WD-40.
I'm thinking some kind of like oil thing. So here's what the prosecution alleged. This is their big theory they put forward. That in a 10-minute window, which is very small.
Yes.
When Lindy was absent from the campfire, so apparently she wasn't, I'm thinking she probably went to pee or whatever. So during this 10-minute window, when Lindy was absent from the campfire putting Azaria to bed, she returned to her tent, changed into a different outfit, tracksuit bottoms, took Azaria to her car, cut her throat with scissors, hid the body in a camera case in the car, then cleaned up the blood.
What?
Removed the tracksuit pants, returned to the tent, planted blood splashes here and there, and then brought Aiden back to the campfire.
Okay, but like none of that makes sense. Like
that is so calculated.
Well, and even okay, so even if
and a lot to do in 10 minutes.
Even if that happened, like the more calculated you get, the more steps you have to get wrong. And that it. I mean, you're going to leave more evidence behind when you're covering up a murder than if just, you know, an actual wildlife animal comes and attacks your baby.
And where are those tracksuit bottoms? Like I didn't find that mentioned. Like, where were
why
those?
Did tracksuit bottoms become part of the
because that's your murder attire. Like, you're changing into your tracksuit bottoms for murdering your baby.
So I mentioned to you I got invited to a bachelorette party, and one of the nights is an 80s night, and I ordered an 80s tracksuit, and now I'm thinking, like, am
are
I
you
gonna,
rethinking
am,
that?
Am I going to be set up for a murder in my 80s tracksuit with my Dare to Be Off Drugs fanny pack that I bought as well?
Oh, I used to have a Dare bumper sticker in the 80s. I thought it would throw people off the scent.
Yeah, right.
I don't know if it worked.
No, they could smell it.
So Lindy, according to the prosecution, was then said to have opened the car to give the dingo a scent of the baby's blood. And no blood was seen on any of her clothes, including the tracksuit. Incredibly, the jury found her guilty of fucking murder and she was sentenced to life imprisonment. Michael, the dad, was convicted of accessory to murder, but he was given a lesser sentence for the sake of his motherless boys. At the time of conviction, Lindy was 7 months pregnant with second daughter, Kalia. So she was briefly let out of prison on bail to give birth to her baby. But,
wow.
But newborn Kalia was put into foster care.
All because of this?
Yeah.
Wow, like ruining one child. Okay, okay. But there's been no actual evidence, right, up to this point?
Well, I mean, it's a lot of circumstantial stuff.
Yeah, but that's, I mean.
Like, there's no way dingoes could do that, that kind of stuff. And why would you put your baby in a black dress?
I don't know.
Satanic.
You would do that.
What?
I might do it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the kind of evidence.
Jeez.
So Michael and the boys were allowed to visit just 3 times a year, and she was not let out. And the notoriety of the case had a profound impact on the boys. So in one documentary, Aiden said, "We grew up with it. It was a daily conversation, and we kept looking forward. I look back now, and it's like watching a good movie you get caught up in, and it's intense, and then you think about it a bit harder." Reagan revealed that school life was really hard and said, "There were fights I got into because people would be saying, 'Your mom's a child killer,' or spitting at us. And I used to take out a lot of our frustrations on each other through wrestling and fighting." And Reagan also suffered with feelings of guilt, knowing that Dinko had climbed over him while he was sleeping in the tent before snatching his sister.
Oh, I missed that altogether. So the brother...
He was 4. He was to bed in the tent with the baby sister.
The 4-year-old brother sleeping and the dingo crawled across him and killed the sister.
Aww. And then Aiden also blamed himself.
Yeah. That's sad.
Yeah. So here's the timeline. 1980, Lindy Chamberlain discovered her daughter Azaria missing from the family tent. December of that year, an initial inquest supported Lindy and Michael Chamberlain's claims that the daughter was taken by the dingo. But then a second inquest was ordered that quashed the initial inquest findings.
Well, like, what are you going to do? There's no, like, the farther you get away, like, how do you find evidence for this? This is resolved. I feel unresolved. Tell me the answer.
Just wait.
Sorry, I'm yelling.
No, I'm glad you're passionate. I'm glad you're passionate about the case.
Because this is so
it's upsetting.
Long. Gosh, these poor kids, the poor siblings, the poor mom.
I know. And then people use this as a like a freaking meme, you know?
No, I've seen it. Like, I literally heard this, like, the dingo ate your baby. That's
why I was like, what does this mean?
And I heard it on Friends. I remember hearing it on that show.
Not Seinfeld? It was on Friends?
I could be wrong. Roast me over the
coals. I don't watch.
I don't,
friends, so I don't know.
Religiously watch either of those, but they sound in the same. One of those times I heard a thing that sounded like that.
Yeah. So September 1982, Lindy was charged with Azaria's murder and Michael was charged with being an accessory after the fact. October 1982, they were found guilty. Lindy was sentenced to life in prison. And Michael received that suspended sentence because he had to take care of the boys. And then early 1986.
Wait, what was the reason why the mom was targeted more than the dad?
Because the dad was sitting at the barbecue the whole time.
Okay.
The mom's the one that went away to put Azaria to bed, but according to the prosecution, took that 10 minutes to do that elaborate murder scheme.
With many tracksuit
changes and camera bag
with
placing of the baby.
No reason to kill her
opening
child.
The car door to lure the dingoes to the scent. It was so elaborate. So early 1986, the jacket Azaria was wearing when she was killed was found by authorities in a dingo lair.
WTF, what?
After a British tourist fell to his death in the same area.
Wow. Okay, so there was a
a dead British tourist.
Okay, I was they more stuck on the fact him. That there's like a true thing, like a dingo layer.
Yes, so okay. He fell to his death, and when they went to go find his poor broken body, it was in the dingo lair, and then they found Azaria's the jacket that had been missing all along.
You assholes.
Assholes!
Bunch of assholes.
Assholes.
Bunch of dirty bones.
So, you know, she's been in prison for many years now, several years, 3-4 years. So they ordered her to be released from prison at this point in 1986.
Oh, thanks.
Thanks.
Jeez.
I mean, she wasn't even allowed to spend time with her newborn daughter. Like, she was let out of prison to give birth and was right back in.
Yeah, yanked her out of her arms.
1988, Lindy and Michael were acquitted of Azaria's death by the Supreme Court, and their convictions were overturned. They received $1.3 million payout for their wrongful imprisonment. 1991, they divorced because it was just too much.
Yeah, it's a lot.
1995, there was a third inquest into the infant's death. Like, you think it's done. It's not. And that returned an open verdict.
I still don't see how they got in there in the first place. It was all circumstantial evidence.
Yeah. So that British tourist, when he was found dead at the base of Uluru, his body had been ravaged by dingoes.
Well, that's, you know, a buffet dropped in front of you.
Mm-hmm. And
the baby was all gone by then.
So here's our conclusion. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
In 2012, 32 years after Azaria's disappearance. Oh, they never found her body, by the way. Did I mention that? They never found her body. So more than 32 years after Azaria disappeared from the tent, the coroner ruled that a dingo was to blame for Azaria's death. The coroner.
32?
Yep.
Jesus.
Elizabeth Morris announced the cause of her death was at the result of being attacked and taken by a dingo. Dingoes can and do cause harm to humans. Because initially, everybody doubted that.
Especially babies.
They're like, dingoes aren't going to attack a human. Like, maybe if a human's, you know, fucking with a dingo, they might attack self-defense, but they're not going to just go out and attack a human. Evidence produced at the fourth inquest into Azaria's death in February of 2012 included reports of attacks by dingoes and dogs assumed to be part dingo or crossbreeds. The coroner heard that in 2001, a 9-year-old boy died as a result of an dingo attack. Years later, 2 girls, each around 2 years old, died in separate attacks by dogs believed to be part dingo. And in her findings, the coroner said no other disappearance had been found that was exactly like Azaria's that had been recorded. However, it is clear that there is evidence that in particular circumstances, a dingo is capable of attacking, taking, and causing the death of young children. No longer will Australia be able to say that dingoes are not dangerous and will only attack if provoked.
Well, and it sounds like such a tourist, like trying to save tourism.
And that is the story of a dingo ate my baby.
So I know I said I would wait on my topic to you, but I feel like I have to, I'm going to share in an expedited fashion.
I really have to pee.
Again? You peed twice during this.
Look at how much sake we drink.
We drank the whole thing.
This is it's giant empty now. Yeah, it's empty.
It's gone.
I'm sorry. I have
Do you really have to go?
I won't be so fast.
I can't give you give the zinger until you show up.
Well, talk about something else.
Okay, so.
Talk about the fact that it was just released that Swakane is the third people killed by police in the nation.
She just throws out a random fact that I don't even know, so I can't talk about that. What I will talk about is being the daughter of someone who worked at a prison, and that was full of, like, he had to work night shifts at the prison, and I remember specifically, like, he would come home like very tired. And he did such a good job making sure that I felt like loved and supported. And I never knew that my dad worked in a prison until I was an adult, just because of how like good he played it off. So good job, Dad. Just a secret. I'm going to talk. I had my topic planned ahead of time, and I'm going to talk about why cats are so fucked up. And I have to talk about it because she talked about dingoes. So it kind of relates. And if I don't talk about it now, all the future topics are going to be messed up in the universe. Since we don't plan our topics, they're completely spontaneous. And that's why. And we'll see how long it takes her to hurry up and come back from the bathroom. What else? I can tell you about my Oklahoma ordeal. I enjoyed spending time with my father. However, Oklahoma is very dark and dismal and scary. However, they did have leaves on the trees this time, which was a impressive improvement. Do you see how much I just stretched that out?
Oh my God.
Whatever you told me to talk about, I didn't know about. So I can't talk about what you know about, but I don't know about.
Can you talk about something you know about?
I
tried to pee so fast, but I've been holding it for so long.
I sake talked for 30 seconds.
Oh, I had second pee and third pee.
You took longer than I expected.
Well, because I didn't realize I was going to be second pee and third pee.
What does second pee and third pee mean? I only have one pee.
Somebody out there knows what I'm talking about.
Maybe, is it because you've had babies?
No, I think I've always had second pee and third pee.
Please tell me more. What?
You know when you think you're done and like, oh no, there's more.
It's always like instant. I'm gonna have to look this up. If you have second P's and third P's, please reach out to us. We have a Facebook page. Let us know. Deeply disturbing thing.
Okay. I'm not the only one.
Okay. Well, nobody's chiming in, so you might be. Just so you know. All right. I'm gonna talk about the world being overtaken.
By what?
By something that has over 600 million on this earth already, right? Something that will not take no as an answer.
Crabs?
Something that is arrogant, manipulative, thinks you are stupid.
Glitter.
What? Wrong.
Damn it.
It won't make eye contact with you.
The herp?
They think you're completely incapable.
Telemarketers?
They're murderers.
Oh, sorry, telemarketers.
Almost every evil villain has one.
Sidekicks?
They think they own you.
Are we talking about...
They make you clean up their crap.
Oh, I don't know now. What are we talking?
Cats.
Oh, motherfucker.
You talked about dingoes. I had to talk about cats.
You know, my life has been taken over by cats recently.
Okay, so I have some reasoning behind this.
Okay.
Okay, so first of all...
Oh my God, I am a slave to my cats.
No, you literally are. So
you have no idea what I've done recently for them.
Cats have only been domesticated for the last 1,000 years, which is just a fraction of the times that dogs have been domesticated. So that's why they're still able to hunt. Like they're really good at it. It's because that genetic aspect hasn't been domesticated out of them.
Cats are fucked up.
Okay, so
they play with their food. I mean, they're like murderers. Live food.
Yeah, no, they are.
No, I need to show you what I just made for my cats. You keep talking, but you need to see this.
Can I keep talking?
Yes, but you need to see, like, just in the last few days.
Should I keep talking?
Or we made this in my living room for my fucking cats.
You made a cat pole.
It's an urban cat climber wall.
What, is that because there's graffiti on
yes,
the wall?
I painted the graffiti.
Your cat's looking at it like, this isn't good enough.
I know, but this is in my living room. It's, really it's like nice. 8 feet tall. Okay. And they have an outdoor patio with sky boxes with pillows.
So
I don't even like my cats, really.
Cats were wild before this. And there's actually, so the cats that we, so these are called Felis silvestris, is actually where our domestic cats come from. And they still exist in Africa. Like, they're like an actual thing.
I really like the iconography of cats.
Yeah, no, they.
I don't know if I really, I mean, my cats aren't really my cats. They're like, well, one cat like is
the world's cats.
My son's cat, and the other two are my other son's. I don't know. I just pay for all their shit.
So first, so most cats, I mean, all cats really come from this ancestry. Over time, you get colors like, so that striped color is actually comes from the original African cat. And then the black, white, and orange colorations came after breeding. So those are more domesticated than the striped ones, which mine are striped.
How about calico?
Later, because that introduces the orange genetics. So first, let's just talk a bit about why cats are. So first of all, I have cats now, and I appreciate them now. There was one point in my life where I had an outdoor cat. That cat was like a wild cat, pirate, best cat ever. But I was not a cat person. Were you a cat person?
Yes, I've had wonderful cats. Just the three that live in my house currently aren't my cats. And they're like, one will literally claw your face off if you touch her.
So the whole thing with cats is that like they almost like led into domesticating themselves because they were wild. And then they came into towns where rodents were getting into farmers' grain. And they started eating the rodents. And then people started seeing that being really effective. So then they started trying to kind of lure the cats in by feeding them to get them to stay and keep killing rodents.
My cats don't kill shit. They laze about and I feed them the best cat food ever. They live way better a life than I do.
So let's talk a little bit about some of the reasons why cats are evil. So the first reason is cats don't actually understand the word no. So let's be real. Like, cats have an attitude problem. They do. No other animal is as moody, temperamental, or as difficult to please. You might think you're investing all that time and energy into building that beautiful cat urban cat climber, you called it,
yes,
to please them. But your cat has absolutely no interest in you as a person. So you just have to get over that now. They really don't care. You won't be able to train your cat. They don't have any loyalty to you. If somebody fed them more and better and had a better urban scratch post.
I told you my other cat had her babies in my closet and then bounced to go live with my ex-husband.
Exactly. No loyalty. No loyalty at all. This is because cats are naturally unresponsive to punishment. They only respond to praise. So if somebody praises better than you do, they will love that person more. So no matter how many times you spray Mr. Bojangles with water for clawing the sofa, he will still continue to do it. Okay, number two, cats are arrogant. They have the bad attitude, but even worse, they think they're better than you. They prance around like they own the place. They pee on everything, expect you to clean
it up for
them.
Thank God my cats don't do that.
So that's good. They know you will wait on them hand and foot. Which is so true. Like, my cats, their food bowl, if it gets half full, they start knocking stuff off. Like, you literally have food in the bowl still.
No, they act like they've been starving for a week.
Right? And then, like, you go and fill it, and they're like, thanks, bitch. And it's like, excuse me, you still had food.
They turn and give you the butthole? What is that?
But I only ate half.
Are you going to explain why they give you the butthole?
Because you're only worth the butthole to them. That's as far as that goes. Cats are manipulative. You know that they purr, right? You have a cat that specifically does
Yeah,
this.
Well, the three that live in my house currently aren't purrs, but I've had cats that are like hardcore purrs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's actually like really close to the similar sounds that like a baby makes when they're like cooing or that noise.
If Stella started purring, I would be worried.
So I saw a paper that claimed that like this noise that the cat makes is actually very similar to a response that we would give to a baby versus a cat. Like we go and we go, oh, like they're purring. Oh, we do the same response as we would for a baby of, oh, That same thing happens with a cat that's purring and a baby that's
so
like,
they're training us to give them love by making a motor sound.
So they're manipulative.
Well, they are because, okay, our super evil cat, Kiwi, that I can't even touch without getting an eye clawed out, is only loyal to Asher. Asher's the only one that can pick Kiwi up. But if Asher's gone, Kiwi will suddenly start circling around my ankles and trying to pretend like she loves me the best. And it's all so fake and manipulative.
If anything,
she's a user.
This proves that even though cats know they are evil creatures, they have to impersonate even your own child to try to get your love. So
I have cat children.
Cats also try to make you feel stupid. So, and actually, just in all fairness, this is actually about cat videos, like YouTube. I watch a lot of these with my dad.
I watch a lot of funny cat videos.
Okay, get this. The average person has spent about 7,638 hours watching cat videos.
I have not watched that much. Praise the Lord.
And
I would be embarrassed.
Right?
I'd be like, what am I doing with
my
life?
What do you have to show for that? So
I have watched some here and there.
Instead, you could have read 300 life-changing books. You could have gone to 47 enlightening walks through nature. You could have done so many better things than watching these cat videos. Okay, all right. And then we get to cats don't make eye contact with you. So even if they lock eyes with you for a moment, they do that like that slow blink away from you of like, fuck you.
I'm going to test it. I'm going to go stare at all three
you
cats
should.
In the eyes.
It's later. Kind of like that evil villain caught in the midst of a disasterly planned moment of like, ugh. Just don't like it.
What are your cats' names? Swiggy and what?
Swiggy and Sabrina.
Sabrina. I have Kiwi, the evil cat, Obi, the man spreader, and Lane, who we're not really sure what his personality is yet because he's so overshadowed by his brother Obi.
Mm-hmm. These cats also think you're incapable. They think you're stupid. So they hunt and bring you dead animals.
Well, my cats don't because they're all indoor cats.
Yeah, so... They
what do my cats
they
do?
They do that for people. I don't understand what your cats do, honestly. I don't know. I think my cats are just not fast enough. Actually, my oldest cat is not, he's very clumsy. He falls off of everything. He fell in a box the other day and got stuck in the box, and I had to get him out of the box. Okay, so.
When Obi was a kitten, I woke up in the morning and opened the refrigerator, and he was in there.
Except, what? In the refrigerator?
Yeah, he could have died.
Who put him in the refrigerator?
No, he got himself in there. Somebody opened the refrigerator and he popped in and nobody noticed. And then I woke up in the morning and I opened the refrigerator and he popped out.
I went on a trip once and like all the doors were open in the house and the cats went in the bathroom and closed the door on themselves and were stuck in there for 2 days.
That.
Yeah, and they
raised hell.
Destroyed everything and pissed and pooped in the bathtub.
At least they did in the bathtub. That was polite.
It was, yeah, it smelled awful though. Okay, so cats are also murdering monsters. They like to kill animals for fun. They kill birds, other creatures. It's known that they're a menace to bird populations. They not only kill them, they play with them.
They play with them, yeah. And they kill when they're not hungry.
Yeah.
They kill for sport.
Often do slow and painful deaths for their prey.
I've seen cats tossing a mouse up in the air that's still alive for a long time, tossing it up.
When I was young, my dad and I would make this little playpen for a cat with these like mice to help it practice learn how to hunt. And they spot them around. They play with it.
That's fucked up.
There was a lot of mice. I can definitely relate to the old farmers back in the day who are trying to keep the mice from eating all their product, all their grains.
Just as Claire found her kitten in the dryer. Meow, bump, bump, meow. But he was fine. I always worry about that.
Okay.
With the dryer.
Sad story, and I hope my sister doesn't hear this. But back when we were kids, she put one of her cats into the dryer.
On purpose?
She was really young. She didn't know what she was doing. She put the cat in the dryer, and my mom turned the dryer on. The cat did die.
Oh.
And it was horrible and sad.
That's so sad.
Traumatic. I have a feeling like she's probably blocked that out at this point in her life. So I'm sorry if she listens to this, but that did happen.
Damn it.
So, you know, try.
I always
trauma.
Worry. I try to keep our dryer door shut because...
You know, just like double check. Why not? Why not take a look in, like, swish your hand around just in case? Because they do. They just jump in really quick. I do think this was a child like putting the cat in the jar because it was like a door and a cat.
Right. And that's what you do. This is the perfect place to put a cat. Why wouldn't you?
Cats also make you pick up their poop. Like, I don't even do that for my dog half the time. Like, my cat, you have to. Astringent smelling. It's so poopy smelling.
Mm-hmm. It's like extra poopy smelling.
It's like they leave it out there like, I'm the alpha. You can't challenge me.
And then if their litter box is too full because you're a bad cat owner, and then they'll just shit wherever they feel like
it. Can I tell you my guilty pleasure? I spent my first giant paycheck in my own. I saved up.
Robo cat litter thing.
Still works, and it's amazing.
Yeah, I looked at the price. I'm like, no, thank you.
I don't blame you, but I don't regret a thing. And and if that means anything, like, once every 2 weeks, I just grab the bag, pull it out, toss it in the trash. I don't have to touch anything. It auto-rotates. It smells good all the time. Like,
the reason
it's worth it.
I always had indoor-outdoor cats is because I never wanted to deal with a litter box. But after two of Asher's cats got ran down in front of our house in a row, 2 years apart,
so worried about.
I was like, the next cat is just going to be indoor forever. And of course, it's fucking Kiwi, the evil cat, is going to live forever inside our house, shitting in our house forever.
Of course it is. Okay. Finally, cats hiss like snakes. And that's as far as
No, Kiwi goes. Always hisses.
And snacks are snakes. Snakes are evil, like we know.
Snakes are evil. I love snakes.
So another thing is like, you think cats clean themselves because they're sanitary, but actually they're grooming themselves because they don't like the smell of humans on them.
Oh, they're trying to wash the human off them.
Because we shed a lot of skin. We have a lot of smells in our houses. And so they're trying to get the smells off of them. They don't like it.
That makes sense. I mean, people are dirty.
We're dirty and smelly. Yeah, exactly. So the conclusion is just go ahead and stay away from cats. I love my cats. Don't get me wrong. However, I've already fallen prey. I'm a victim. I'm now manipulated by my cats. For sure. 100%.
Well, do you see the amount of production that I put in for these cats at my house?
I know. You're like literally a slave to your cats.
Yeah. I mean, they have this specially designed catio so they can have some outdoor time. But it's catio. Safe. It's safe. It's all fenced in. They have their little sky boxes. Three sky boxes. They
sky boxes?
Have little pillows.
I don't even have a sky box.
No, I know. They live way fucking better than I do.
So,
just Paul, are you fishing for a fucking thank you? You've said you're welcome twice. So thank you, Paul, for helping with both of those cat construction projects.
So cats themselves have no doubt orchestrated all of this. There's over 600 million cats in the world. 600 million cats.
That's a lot of cats.
In Cyprus, the island of Cyprus, there are more cats than people, and they're viewed as an infestation.
Oh, but in Japan, there's cat towns, and they're viewed as
so because they're not
gods.
As common there. So this actually is because a lot of people think that they came from Egypt, but the furthest back we've seen is actually in Turkey. There was a man, they found the burial of a man, and like 2 feet away they had buried his cat with him. That was like 11,000 years ago. And that was like the first thing we can connect with people and their cats. Egypt and Rome was only 3,000 years ago. So back all the way to 11,000 years ago. And then in Cyprus is about 7,000 years ago. But they've only been domesticated the last 1,000 years. And that's why their hunting instincts are still there. That's why they don't train easy like dogs do. It just hasn't been bred out of them. It will eventually happen. So it's kind of this, I do think that's kind of cool. Like, we really have these semi-wild creatures that have a lot of genetics that relate back to that African cat that still exists today.
I really don't see anything wild in Obi.
He's vicious. Oh, no, the other one.
No, that's
just kidding.
Kiwi.
Kiwi's vicious. Obi's like a sweetheart. But, like, talk about mass
the one
manipulator.
With the big amount of belly fur.
No, he's like, rub me
and
all the time.
And the man-spreading.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot of...
And the treats.
Touch me.
He wants the treats constantly.
My dog gets jealous of how much my cat gets pet. and my cat makes me feel guilted into it, and I want to pet my dog. So that's the comparison there. So I wanted to share that just because you talked about dingoes.
If you find me dead at the bottom of the stairs one day, it's because Obi tripped me, because he likes to do the weaving in and out of your feet while you're walking down the stairs thing.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Yeah, so. Yeah. It was Obi.
My cat just, like, all of a sudden I'll see him look up at the ceiling. I'm like, oh, no. Like, he saw a glimmer of light probably off my watch. And then he's willing.
Or they're seeing ghosts.
He'll jump off of my head.
Or they're seeing alternate universes.
No, he saw a light off my watch.
No, cats be tripping.
I have to tell you, I teased him with my watch one day, and now he's neurotic. I ruined him.
But haven't you seen cats just staring into the corner at nothing? What the fuck?
No, that's just Kiwi. Kiwi's an alien.
I've seen lots of cats do that. It's weird. I think they can see things that we can't see. They have an expanded perception beyond our limited human capabilities.
Maybe. Them and dingoes. Know where what's that word called? That spot that's easier to transition between?
The thin place.
The thin place. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you, everyone. Until next time.
Go try to look your cat in the eye.
And we're sorry, we were late. Talk to you next time. Bye.